We're going to look at some passages of Scripture and some topics today that in some ways are going to be fun and some ways are not going to be fun, okay? Because I feel sorry for you guys. I really do. It's always been hard to really, really, really walk with God in this crazy, ugly world that we live in at times. But you guys kind of have it worse than many others. I wish we could live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie, you know? All we'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude. But we don't live in that world. You guys have it tough. And as we're going to see, we're going to dig into the Word of God to see what God says about purity. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee, run, be a fugitive, get as far away from youthful passions and lusts as you possibly can. And this word flee literally means to be a fugitive from, to run so fast and so far that they cannot find you. And how do you do this? What you do is you flee from the wickedness that we face in our world, and then you follow what? You follow righteousness. We just need to do right, okay? You follow faith, trusting God, love or charity, peace. And all the time, teens will say, but Rand, it's so hard. How do I do this? He tells us at the end of the verse. Look what it says. With them that call on the Lord, out of a pure heart. If you have one of your best friends in the world here, right now, today, point to him. If one of your best friends in the world, point to him right now. Okay? All right, look at me. You know how you can stay pure in a wicked world? Get with your friends and pray for purity. You pray out of a pure heart. You text each other, say, hey, I'm having a tough night. Would you please pray for me? You pray with your friends who also want to pray out of a pure heart. Every single one of us can do that. We can pray out of a pure heart. So as we begin here, I want to show you a verse that's kind of tough. This is one of those hard verses. You see, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one or be loyal to the one and despise. That word despise doesn't mean hate. It means to look down upon, to treat as nothing. It's the way some seniors look at freshmen, you know, or seventh graders. Do your seniors rule or do they drool? Which one, okay? Yes. Can I explain this verse right now for us today? So you got your phone, you got your iPad, you might be sitting at home, mom and dad aren't around, your computer's on, and you're tempted. And there's trash 1-2 clicks away. So let me apply this verse. If you say, Rand, I'm going after the porn, I'm going to watch stuff that makes me think bad thoughts, here's what you're actually saying. Hey, God, I know you can't serve two masters. So for the next half hour, I want you to know I'm going to love this and I'm going to hate you. In fact, for the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be loyal to this. I'm going to hold to this. And at least for 30 minutes, to me, you mean absolutely nothing. That's what this verse is teaching, guys. I'm telling you, every single one of us can truly, truly live with a heart that is pure before a very holy God, okay? We got to take this stuff serious. The consequences of any filthiness and immorality, whether it's in the mind or in the body or on the screen, the consequences are devastating. Where did this start? Well, it started an awful long time ago. You know, everybody tells me, well, this is all new to God. No, nothing's new to God. Do you remember the Ten Commandments? Remember them? What were they written on? A tablet. And where was all the information kept? In the cloud, okay? There's nothing ever, ever new here. The very first, some guy just told me recently, the very first computer was an Apple, and it only had 2 bytes, and then it crashed, okay? Anyway. The internet's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger and faster and stronger and more appealing every single day. Most of us in this room, we couldn't even live without this. It is such a part of our lives. But there is a dark side. And the dark side is sometimes very difficult to avoid. You could put it this way. For centuries, Satan has been hurling fiery darts. Today, he's gotten his hands on a weapon of mass destruction, and he wants to destroy every single one of you guys. Here's my fear. Satan simply wants you to fall in love with something other than God. And if he can get you to love your sin more than you love your God, he's got you where he wants you. Got it? You know why I spent literally hundreds of hours on this one message alone? I'm a camp director. My life is teens, my life is camp. In one week, three different teenage girls came to me from different homes, different churches, different parts of the country. But their story was almost identical. They came, he said, "Rand, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "The other night at home, in the middle of the night, I woke up, had to go to the restroom, and when I was walking down the hall, I thought I saw or heard something in the living room. When I looked in, there's my dad. He's watching that pornography on the screen. Rand, I don't know what to do." Boy came to me, he said, "Rand, I got a real problem." He said, "Oh, I don't even know what to do. I'm really scared." I said, "What's that?" He said, I when I come home from school, my dad has a home office, and I always sneak around and bang on the windows. And every time I do so, it's just like scares my dad. I've seen him almost fall out of his chair. It's really cool. But the other day, I was just getting ready to bang on the window when I looked through the window and saw what he was looking at on his computer. And I thought, whoa, couldn't be. And he switched to another site. So I went in and got mom. We went down to his study, and of course, the door was locked. By the time he let us in, he shut his computer off. He denied everything. He said, "Rand, I know what I saw. My problem is he's not just my dad. He's also my pastor. I get a little messages on Facebook. Let me just share one. Dear Mr. Rand, I don't know what to say. A few weeks ago, I caught my dad looking at pornography. I told myself I really didn't see what I thought, even though I often catch him quickly exiting the screen when someone comes near. I'm homeschooled, and today while doing school, I looked over, and there it was right in front of him. I don't know what came over me. I was angry. I felt as though he had reached in and tore my heart out. I called his name and asked what he was doing. He quickly exited out of it, and he said he's trying to get a pup off his Facebook. He told me he wasn't looking at it. I don't know what to believe him or not. Please pray for me. I don't want to be bitter or treat him coldly, but at the same time, he's the pastor of our church. If it's true, I can't sit there and listen to him preach every Sunday and Wednesday. Please pray for me, Mr. Ann. I don't know what to do." And some of you guys here today, I'm your friend, and I don't want to be, I am not here to offend anyone, but I want to help you because some of you don't know what to do. You already feel enslaved. In today's sessions, as we walk through four of them, okay, I want you to know you guys can be victorious over this stuff. You can be pure in an impure world. When I started digging into the Word of God, I took my Strong's Concordance. I looked up computer. I looked up Dell. I looked up laptop. I couldn't find anything. And then I came across this article, this passage in Ezekiel 8. And as I started reading, I'm thinking, whoa, this is an amazing thing. Now, I know that God did not write Ezekiel 8 and give this vision just with the internet in mind. But also know this, to God, 1,000 years is but a day, and a day is what? So for God, 2,000 years ago was like the day before yesterday. And basically, he's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to see what's going on right now in the midst of my people. How many of you profess Jesus as your Savior? You've prayed and trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Let me see your hands real high. Okay, then you're part of God's people. And Ezekiel is a picture of the glory of God painted on the backdrop of some very, very wicked people. It's a pretty sad chapter. Came to pass in the sixth year and the sixth month and the fifth day of the month as I sat in mine house that the elders of Judah sat before me and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And then I beheld, and lo, a likeness is the appearance of fire. It's describing here the glory of God, okay? From the appearance of his loins even downward, fire. From his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. I love that word, amber. That's my wife's name, okay? Verse 3. He put forth the form of a hand. He took me to lock in the head, and his spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven. He brought me to the visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks towards the north, where was the seat of the image of, say the next word out loud, please, jealousy, which provoketh to, say it again, jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision I saw in the plain. And he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of this altar, the image of, say it, jealousy in the entry. Let me stop there 1 second. When it speaks of God's jealousy, it's not the same kind that maybe you experience at school. Now don't look around. Look at me. Every eyeball at me. You ever notice these couples that are going together, going out? Talking, okay? In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, is that your boyfriend? No, we're just talking. You see them? They're talking. I said, explain that again. They said, we're only talking, but they're talking. I said, so you can talk, but you can't talk? She said, yeah. I said, okay, I know what you're talking about. Anyway, and you ever see them in the middle of a fight? It's kind of fun. You go with a youth group bowling or something, everybody's just having a great time, only this couple's sitting off to the side, and you can see her turn to him and say, you looked at her. You think she's prettier than I am, don't you? Ha, ha, ha. You know, you see this, all right. Totally different. God is not jealous of, gang. Get this, God is jealous for us. And he knows what kind of love can reach down and grab a hold of each of our hearts and pull those hearts away from God. Homeschool kid, 15, came to me. He said, Rand, okay, I'm doing this homework assignment with mom at home. All of a sudden, that trash comes on the screen. Quick, we turned the monitor off, rebooted the computer. And then he said this. He said, Rand, I've never seen that stuff before. And I've never seen it since. But I want to. And all of us are smart enough to know that once this reaches down and it grabs a hold of your heart, it doesn't want to let go. Verse 6, he said, furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abomination. Say that word with me, abomination. Whenever you should hear the word abomination, you should think hate, hate, hate. Say that, hate, hate, hate. Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here. Get this, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Sanctuary is a place of worship, both corporately when we meet together, like in a church, and privately when you sit down and open your Bible before God. It's a holy, set-apart place where you meet with God, okay? So when I have a college guy, teenager, come up to me and say, Rand, can I talk to you? He said, yeah. I'm addicted to porn. I don't know what to do. Can you help me? I said, I can help you, but let me ask a question before we begin. And this is what I ask every time. I said, how's your devotional life? And here's how they respond almost every time. It's non-existent. Do you know Barna Statistics tells me that 60% of you guys here right now, 60%, 6 out of 10 of you right here, when you get old enough and leave home, you're going to leave God. I hate that statistic, but that's the statistic they're giving. Why does that happen? I know why. Because of this. At whatever time you begin to push God out of your devotional life, at whatever time you're too busy for God, you really got tied up with, because you got Fortnite and you got your friends on Facebook, and so therefore I don't have time to spend with God. At whatever time you push God out of your sanctuary, you are the next one in line for to be part of that 60%. He says, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. When I dig in the wall, behold, a door. If you understand, this is almost like a Zelda thing going on here, okay? Anyway, and he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed in the wall round about. Teens, what Ezekiel did, he walked into this room, and there was graffiti on the walls, both words and pictures that depicted the most wicked immorality associated with their idolatrous worship. He walked into this room that was filled with this garbage. And you know as well as I do, the internet is home to thousands of images that would be illegal to sell in adult bookstores today. After looking at this, what does it say? There stood before him 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Who are the ancients? And I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny here. It's you, mom, dad, pastor, teacher. Do you know a lot of the counsel I do really has, it's not like the teens are struggling. I get teens come to me and go, there's teen girls that come and have to put a dresser in front of their bedroom and door at night because they're scared of their brothers and their dads because they know what they're watching. No kid should have to grow up this way. And this is not just a kid problem. The ancients, those who know better, those who for years by reason of use have maybe learned how to discern a little bit. You got to understand, youth pastor, that when you fall, you grab a hold of about 20 other kids and pull them down with you. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Who was that? Shaphan read the word of God to, when King Josiah was there, and they had the great revival. Jazaniah heard his daddy read the word of God. And even today, I'm not preaching to a bunch of teens that don't know about God. You guys come from good churches. You know God. You know what he loves. You know what he hates. Isn't it amazing? After even knowing this, do we still choose to love that which God hates? It doesn't make much sense. Verse 12, he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man, the chambers of his imagery are the rooms of his imagination. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. They say, the Lord has forsaken the earth. Okay, guys, what do you do in the dark when you think nobody is watching? What do you do in the dark when you think you can get by with it? What do you do in the dark when you think you'll never, ever get caught? You must understand, teens, there is no darkness. See what they believe? These guys are nuts. They say the Lord seeth us not. Come on. He that created the eye, can he not see? Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you probably can hide from mom, and you can probably hide from dad. You can hide from probably a lot of your friends, but guys, you cannot hide from God. Ever. The only reason you do this is you ignore his existence. You treat him like he doesn't exist. The Lord has forsaken the earth. That's what they say. He has not and he never will. He said unto me, yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, what is this? Tammuz was a false god that once a year, somewhere around April, there was even a month named after him, somewhere around April, they would meet together and they would worship this false god. Guys, the worship, the way they did it to this false god was so horrendous, so terrible. Every form of immorality, even to the point, young moms were bringing their babies, killing them, those babies, and sacrificing them to this god. When Constantine came to rule, he saw that this type of worship was so wretched and so terrible, he abolished the whole thing. And then it says, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations than these. I'm thinking, what can be worse? Every form of immorality, killing their own babies. Here's what he says. He brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple, Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. Again, describing spiritual leaders here. Get this. With their backs towards the temple of the Lord. Their faces toward the east. And they worship the sun towards the east. God, we don't want to worship you anymore. And they drove him out of the sanctuary. Now get this, guys. They are turning their back on him. And only worshiping that which really just pleases and satisfies their own flesh. This is the greatest of abominations. When you turn your back on God. Yeah. Verse 17, hast thou seen this, O Son of Man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah? They commit the abominations they commit here. Is it a light thing? Is it not a big deal? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it bother them? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it tear our hearts out when we choose to be involved in that which God hates? They filled the land with violence. They've returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put a branch to their nose. This is a little bit hard to explain, but basically in that day, if they wanted to show their hatred and show their contempt, they'd put a branch to their nose. Today, I'm not trying to be crude, but today, to show their vulgarity, their hatred, they just give them the finger. God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't even want you in our lives. Then they turn to literally blaspheme God. And you get so addicted and enwrapped into the sexual sins that you think you're right and God's wrong. That's scary. The last verse is sad. God said, I will deal in my fury. Teens, look at me. Again, I'm your friend, but don't you think for one second that God will not unleash his wrath on all sin, because he will. Mine eyes shall not spare. That means I'm not going to overlook this. You think you're going to get away with it. Sorry, you're not. Neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. What does this mean? As a Christian, when you sin and you pray and ask God to forgive you, does he forgive you? Yes or no? Does he always remove the consequences of your sin? No. These people say, God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't want you in your life, in our lives at all. You know what God said? God said, okay. The ultimate of God's wrath is not chastisement and correction, gang. It's when God gets quiet and stops convicting you. It's all over Romans chapter 1, guys. When people say, God, leave me alone. No, stop. I don't want your conviction. I don't care what you say. No, leave me alone. God's saying, are you sure you want your life without me? Yes. Okay. You can have this life and eternal life. Never, ever to be in my presence again. Pretty scary stuff. You know what happened here? God allowed another nation to come in and take over Israel. Literally, the men became slaves. They had absolutely no say about anything in life. They were nothing more than animals. They could be killed or just whatever. And the women, we don't talk a lot about this, but in slavery, the women were nothing more than a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. You know what the consequences of the dark side of the internet are? The enslaving quality of pornography. Many say that pornography is more addictive than most of the heroin that's on the market today. And again, the dark side, you girls, you treat it as a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. So God gives a pretty dark picture here. We're going to tear it apart as it applies to our world, and we're going to look at the power of the dark side of the internet, its perversity, its privacy, or I should say its false sense of privacy, what it will cost us, the price tag, and then what we can do in prevention. Regarding the power of the dark side of the internet, there stood before them 70 men of the ancients. Again, those who know better. Not one of us in this room, no one, is beyond the power and the pull of the dark side of the internet. None of us. Not you, not your best friend, not your parents, not your kids, not your pastors. None of us are beyond the power and the pull of the dark side of the internet. Who is one of the strongest men in all the Bible? His name? Say it again. Okay. What destroyed his walk with God? His incredible lust for strange women. Who is one of the wisest kings in all the Bible? His name? Solomon, 700 wives, 300 cucumber vines. Did he have a problem? Yeah. And they pulled his heart away from God. Who was one of the most godly kings in all the Bible? His name? David. Did David love God? Yes. Did David sing praises to God? Yes. Did he hate sin? Yes. Did he choose to sin? Yes. Are you like closer to God than David? I'm not. I want to be. I'm striving to be. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed. Watch out. Be careful lest you fall. Teens, we better watch and pray lest we enter into this kind of temptation. I mean, the spirit is ready. You want to do what is right, but this crazy stinking flesh is so weak. Speaking of the strange woman, the Bible says she has cast down many. Many strong men have been slain by her. You have to understand the statistics even today say at least 7 out of 10 choose to be involved with this trash. If I asked 10 of you guys to stand up and asked 3 of you to sit down, statistics would say the other 7 have already been chosen to be a part of it. What about perversity? Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. I hardly even need to expound on this. The wickedness, what are the issues of this? Probably one of the worst to me is the proliferation of child pornography. Every time that trash is on there, some kid's life has been destroyed. I got friends that have given their entire lives to work on the sex trade that comes from Dominican and Puerto Rico, and sad. Can I just share what one mom wrote? She said, I've always felt pornography was bad, that it was harmful, but I felt it didn't affect me personally. We live in a small, close-knit community. Pornography is not an issue there. I basically felt immune to its effects. A year ago in April, my world was shattered by the effects of pornography. My 3-year-old daughter was raped and violated in every manner you can imagine by a 12-year-old boy. When they arrested a young man, we were told they would surely find abuse in his background. This is the reason he did this to my daughter. After a thorough evaluation, they came to one conclusion. There was no abuse in his background. He was exposed to pornography at a very vulnerable time in his life. What he saw not only gave him ideas of what to do and how to do it, it gave him permission to treat females in a degrading and a debasing manner. Wow. Do you know what I do as a camp director when I'm not preaching or leading a hike or being stupid in our skit time or whatever? You know what I do? I sit in our coffee shop and in my office with you guys. One at a time, 2 at a time. So I'm in my office. You got a counselor and a 14-year-old girl whose mom's boyfriend raped her and she had AIDS and she's going to die. Here's another one, a 15-year-old girl. Similarly thing happened to her, only she got pregnant and her mom's boyfriend forced her to have an abortion. And she's in my office screaming, they made me kill my baby. Every single time there's any of this trash online, some kid's life has been destroyed. Some kid's life has been wrecked. And I am shocked at the number of individuals that continue to go to this trash to get their little thrills. Doesn't make much sense. What about his privacy? He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man the chambers of his imagery. I ask you again, what do you do in the dark? Teens, there is no privacy. Delete does not mean delete. Secret sins are not as secret as you think they are. You see, Rand, I've never been caught. Just hang on. Because maybe Satan, in his wisdom, and he is wise, he's waiting until maybe you get a couple more years or a little bit more leadership potential in your youth group, or maybe even wants you to get married and maybe be in a youth leader or work with a youth staff. Maybe he wants to get you to a place where he has 5 or 6 other younger guys who God could really, really use in a wonderful way to really trust you. And then he brings you crashing down. And everybody underneath you says, if he can't do it, then I can't do it. There is no privacy. None. So I'm in my office. I got a young mom. She's got two kids. I think her kids were maybe 2 and 4. I'm talking on the phone with her husband, pastor. Well, used to be a pastor. Used to sit in youth group stuff just like this. Went to Christian college, the whole bit. Why am I talking to him on the phone? Because he's in prison. And why is he in prison? Because he couldn't keep his stinking hands off other people's kids. Do you think that he woke up one morning and thought, I'm going to throw away my ministry and I'm going to throw my family away and I'm going to go and molest a couple kids? When he was 11 and 12 and 13, he started looking at this stuff. At 14 and 15, he wouldn't quit. At 16 and 17, he looked for more and more until it became such a major part of his life. He gets into his 20s, and he's going more and more. And every single time, his flesh would cry out. He would say, yes, 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 till the biggie came, and he couldn't say no. The last I heard, he had another 15-year sentence added to his original ones. I think his boys will maybe be in their 40s before he gets out of prison. You can choose your sin, teens, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sins. The price tag? I'll tell you what it'll cost you. It'll cost you everything that you love. You lose trust from mom and dad and future husbands and future wives. You lose every bit of self-restraint because you're so addicted to this trash. What you're thinking today, guys, is what you will be 5 years from now. And if you're consumed with both selfish thinking and sensual thinking, I'm telling you guys, you're headed for trouble. So what can we do? You say, Rand, I don't like this. I'm scared. Good. We all should be scared. And this is a dark thing. But we always forget, even in the midst of the greatest darkness, we forget the greatest light, who is God. Behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there. And what do we know about this God? We know he loves us. We know he's patient. We know he's incredibly forgiving. And we know he promises to enable us, divinely enable, it's called his grace, to be able to win the fight against the most difficult of all war. I'm going to share 4 internet prevention guide principles. Hang with me. Secret agent principle, the surfer dude, the sumo wrestler. Hang on, I'll explain. And the strange woman principle. Secret agents are cool. My favorite was a guy named Maxwell Smart. He used to take his shoe off and talk into his phone, okay? They sneak around so nobody can ever find them. Let the words of my mouth, those of you who text, and those of you who are constantly communicating with your friends through your Facebook or Instagram, get this. In the meditation of my heart, that's your thought life. That's what you're thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, your heart, your mind's the same thing. What does it say? Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Lord, I want you to be pleased with everything I say and everything I think. Don't be a secret agent. Don't be sneaking around pretending, you know, that everything is fine when it's really, really not. How do you do this? Accountability. Don't go online alone. If you struggle with this, make sure that mom's home, dad's home. Invite the entire kindergarten class to come over. Just do something that nobody's around, okay? Always got somebody around to protect you. Number 2, visibility. Never surf in secret. Again, don't be stupid. Sin is sinful, but it's also pretty stupid. I have guys go, yeah, Rand, I really struggle with this. I say, okay, look at me, look at me. Where are you when you struggle? In my room. What are you doing? Surfing the web. Who's with you? Nobody. I'm alone. Door shut. Look at me. Don't be stupid. Open the door. Get rid of the internet in your room, okay? Don't be alone, all right? Even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Don't be alone. Got it? Vulnerability. Never talk to strangers. Okay, I'm going to say something. I don't want to offend any of you, but this is real life. Some of you girls, maybe even some of you moms, you feel incredibly unattractive. Like no boy would ever want you. And you go online inadvertently just doing something fun, and actually you start communicating with somebody, and the more you communicate back and forth and back and forth, and then he starts saying things like, whoa, I've never met anybody like you in my life. This is amazing. Wow, whoever marries you will be the luckiest guy in all the world. Well, I would give anything to spend my life with you. You forget they're doing that to like 30 other people at the same time. And don't be enamored by this flattery. So I was at a church preaching. They asked me to help out with the situation. Young couple, 22, 23 years of age, been married for 2 years. Husband comes home from work. There's a note. He knew the other vehicle was gone. The note just said, honey, I'm so sorry. I met somebody online. I've left you. He sat down in the chair and just started to cry. Phone rang. It was his wife's dad. Hey, kids, how you doing? Mom and I thought we would surprise you this weekend. We're on our way to see you. So obviously the boy told his father-in-law what the note said. And the dad said, you know, we're going down the interstate. I thought I saw your car going the other way. So he quick took the next exit, came all the way around, got right behind his own daughter and followed her for about an hour until they went off an exit, went to a Lowe's parking lot. She pulled up next to a white van. She got out. A man got out. They started to embrace, and then dad pulled in. I will at least say that she got in the car with her mom and drove off. Guys, do you think it would be a little bit difficult maybe to trust her after that? You see what happens when you talk to strangers online. Please be careful. 2 weeks, 2 weeks at camp, five girls were brought to me, five girls who all ran away from home. Today, when you run away from home, it's easy to find you. We just go online, can find out exactly where you are. Out of those five, two of them got raped. The other three chose to throw their virginity away. Now, again, guys, I am your friend. And I want you to be aware that this stuff is real. And maybe it hasn't happened in your church youth group yet or your church. But if some of you continue in the path that you're going, it will. Surfer dude principle. Surfer dudes are cool. They're not really known for their intelligence, like, hey, dude, gag me with a spoon, whatever, you know. They're just out there looking for the next big wave, okay? I personally have the privilege to preach in Hawaii quite a bit. I've been there like five times. And I got a friend. He's a pastor, but he also surfs. And one time when I was there, he goes, Rand, I'm so glad you're here. We're going surfing early. Why? The waves are 15 feet high. I said, what if you fall off a wave that's 15 feet, like falling off a wall that's 15 feet high, but you're not going to fall because I'm going to be with you, but we got to go early in the week because the undertow is shifting and they say there might be some sharks coming in by Saturday. Stop! I still wear swimmies when I get in the bathtub. I am not going surfing, okay? I refuse to. Prudent man foresees evil. When you're smart, when you're prudent, when you're wise, you say, Rand, if I go out through this door, I'll get in trouble. Da! Don't go out through that door. But the simple, they pass right on. Oh, I'm going to die. Yay. Do you know what the Greek word, when it's translated in Greek, is for simple-minded one, the non-thinking one? It's the word moros. What word do you know sounds like moros? We are morons. We are idiots. If we think we can mess around with the dark side of the internet and escape the consequences of sin, refuse to surf. Like I did. It'll keep you out of deep water, okay? Know where you are going and what you want. Guys, if you would go online like you shop, not like your sisters and mom shop, but like you shop, aren't these girls weird? Oh, man, I tell you, my wife and I would go in town. She, oh, honey, I'm going to try on a couple outfits. I said, okay. So you go, and they got all these overstuffed chairs filled with men. I say, how you doing, guys? They look at me and said, fine. We called in a pizza. You want to chip in? I said, no, I'm not going to be here that long. Then they laughed at me. One of them had a little boy. He said, how old's your son? He said, I don't know. He was 2 when we came here. So men don't do that. When they get in, they get it, and they get out, okay? That's what we need to learn when it comes to being online. The sumo wrestler principle. Sumo wrestlers are cool. All 600-700 pounds, when they take that 1 foot and put it down, everything jiggles, you know. Oh, I would love to eat like a sumo wrestler. I don't want to look like one, but I'd love to eat like one. I get a little embarrassed wearing diapers in public, so I'm not going there, okay? But what they do is this. They get in a big ring, a circle like this, okay? And if they can get the guy to the edge of it and grab a hold of him and push him out of the circle, they lose. Teens, you know what? I'm not going to spend my life right here on the edge. Where one little push, and I'm gone. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay as far away from that edge as I possibly can. You want a great principle in life? Don't just stay away from sin. Stay away from temptation. Lead us not to temptation. How do you do this, okay? You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on his characteristics. You put on his character. You try to live just like you know your Jesus would live on this earth. And you make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it with me. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it again. Turn to the person next to you. Stick your finger in their nose and whisper it to them. Go. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Guys, it is a wonderful Bible principle. Don't be stupid. Don't provide a way to fulfill the flesh. I mean, be very, very careful. Keep the computers out of your bedroom. Make sure mom or dad have the password on it. Make sure there's a block on it. Follow through with all these things, okay? SafeEyes.com, CovenantEyes.com. Protect with the delete button. If something comes on your computer, you can do all of this. Make it hard to sin. In counseling with drugs, sometimes we use this thing called HALT, H-A-L-T. If you're given to drugs and you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and you're tempted, you will sin. You ever get lonely? You ever just so tired? Or maybe even you're mad, you're angry. Some of you combine the angry and the hungry and call it hangry. I know that, okay? And when you're down like that, you're probably going to sin if you get tempted. So that's right, when you're walking with your Lord and the Spirit of God's in control, you set up every block and every filter and every boundary so when you are tired and angry and lonely and you want to sin, you can't. There's no way you can get to it. The final principle is the strange woman principle. Remove thy way far from her. Come not near the icon of her website. That's what it means in Hebrew there, okay? Lest you give your honor unto others and yours to the cruel, and strangers be filled with your wealth. For some, if they go to where there's Wi-Fi, they pull out their little piece of plastic and they type in four numbers, expiration date. And like you buy this stuff, you're not tripping and falling into sin. You're presumptuously saying, God, this is what I love, and you I will hate for at least a half hour. Mm-hmm. Lest you give your honor to others and yours to the cruel. Guys, men, for 25 years, you can raise your kids and send them to Christian college. 25 years and serve God. 25 years being faithful in your church, being a deacon or a leader. 25 years teaching. 25 years doing right. And one night, you sin and you get caught. What do people remember about you? The 25 years of doing right or the one night of sin? Concentrate in your relationship with your family. Those of you in here who are dads, you think about what it'd be like for your daughter in Christian college to call and you say, honey, I need to talk to you. and tell her that what you've been doing. Concentrate in your relationship with your spouse, or for most of you, your future spouse. Guys, you want to marry a girl who for years has been talking filthy to other guys, like all over? Girls, you want to marry a guy who for 4, 5, 6 years has been addicted to porn? Is that the kind of guy you want to help you raise your little girl someday? I don't think so. Concentrate in your relationship with your Lord. Ezekiel, do you see what my people are doing? They've driven me out of the sanctuary. They don't want to worship me anymore. They've turned their backs on me, and they're only worshiping that which makes them feel good. I beg you, I preach to you, I admonish you, please, please, don't get caught in the dark side of the internet. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. I am not going to give an invitation. I am not going to ask for a raise of hands, okay? I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to break up into small groups with your church groups and your friends. And you're going to have about 10, 15 minutes to be able to talk through some of these things, okay? But I do want to pray for you. How do you take a message like this? And I know it's uncomfortable, it's hard. I know that. How do you deal with this? For some of you, it is a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you have protected them and kept them from all this trash. Thank you. Please continue to do so. For some of you, it's a prayer of confession. Your secret life is not very pretty. And God sees it. Whoa. Wow. You need to ask him to forgive you. He will. If you confess, homologeo, to speak the same, you agree with God about how wicked your sin is, and you confess it, he will forgive you. And he will cleanse you. It's a promise of God. And then he'll say, now go and sin no more. So some of you can thank God. Some of you need to confess to God. But as we started the session today, how do you flee youthful passions? How do you follow true righteousness and true love with them that call on God out of a pure heart? You guys need to start praying for each other. You need to find a good friend that you can hold each other up and be accountable to and accountable for. But as I said at the beginning, you guys can do this. The guy sang, abide in me. If you abide in me, in my will, you can ask what you will and it will be done. Lord, I want to be pure. Protect me from this evil, evil world. And God says, okay, I will. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Father, thank you for this time together. Although it was not really fun, this is a true life. And I pray that you would not let us just come to this session and this day and let this just be gone. Would you implant some of these thoughts deep in our hearts and minds, that they be a warning cry for months and even years to come? Oh, Lord. We don't want to treat you like we hate you. We don't want to act like you mean absolutely nothing to us. But yet our flesh, it's wicked, it's weak. So I'm praying for your hand of blessing and protection over these teens. Please. We're all accountable before you for what we've heard today. So help us to live a pure life in this crazy, impure world that we live. As we pray in the name of Jesus,